ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, we can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Major Tom, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing very good. Thank you. And how are you doing?
Hey, brother. Doing great. Thank you for coming back on tonight. Folks, we have the next hour with Major Tom Baird. And, brother, would you like to open us in prayer?
Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together again over the airways. For it is just like your presence. We don't see you, and we don't see the airways, but we sure hear you, and we hear one another as we talk. And Lord, I pray right now for each soul that comes across this particular broadcast tonight, that you would touch them in their heart. Draw each one of us closer to you, for you are the creator and the master of the universe. You are the great Elohim. You are in charge of everything, and nothing can happen except that you give permission. And we, Lord, we pray right now for safekeeping for each one, that you would be our refuge in time of trouble as we enter into the tribulation period that is shortly to come. It may be tonight, it may be tomorrow. But we know that you are here and that you have us in the very center of the palm of your hand in all of your protection and your provision. And we thank you, Lord. And I ask this blessing upon each one as they listen tonight. And may we all prepare our hearts and prepare the hearts of our friends to endure through all things. For you have made all things possible for us to endure. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Folks, invite a friend to tune in. Major Tom, take it away.
Okay, well, this is part two of part one, Are We About to Be Shaken? And the answer is yes, we are. How severely depends upon where we are physically and where we are spiritually. And if we are in the correct position spiritually in a right relationship with the creator of the universe, Yahuwah, and his son Yahusha, and are in salvation with him, then it doesn't matter where we are physically, because he takes care of us one way or the other, either here, there, or in the air. And as we review, I think as we start, I'll go ahead and try to do a brief review here. In part one, we saw that we are in the end times. There's no doubt about it. After 2,000 years, it is harvest time for the wheat and the tares, from that famous parable from Christ. First, they will gather the tares, and then they will gather the wheat. So we will see all of these things happen. We're not going to be leaving this place, but we are going to be sheltered by the hand of God. Now, in part one, I again gave the vision, and I will tonight also, because we will be referring to many of the parts of that vision that occurred. It was an open vision, and we'll find out more about it. As we continued on, we found the scriptures that addressed in what condition we are in, that we are in, who are in the Rome/Babylon kingdom, because Rome is part of the Babylon kingdom. It's just the most severe form of it. And we are still in that. Do you notice that all of our laws still stem from the Roman law? Do you notice that most of our customs come from the kingdom of Rome, particularly the Christian ones? They, in fact, the kingdom of Rome, actually, after the Council of Nicaea, and at the Council of Nicaea and then afterwards, dictated pretty much what the Christian church could and could not do, and they superimposed Rome. So that now we have Rome first, the Roman church second, and God third. Now, what does that do with the Ten Commandments? Why are we not listening to the Old Testament? Why aren't we not looking at all of the words that he gave us to prepare us for this time? Because they despised anything and all things Jewish, and anything that came along as far as scriptures were concerned, they attempted to negate it to the greatest extent, and we find ourselves now in our own kettle of stew, because we have our seminaries continually, even as I'm speaking, purport that we are a dispensational church, that we have replaced Israel. That's a bunch of poppycock. Israel has never been replaced. The remnant is still there before God, even though they're dispersed. And the usurpers in the land of Israel may not be the actual Hebrew and Jewish lineage. In fact, it may be Esau that you're looking at instead, because of all the corruption that's currently on. But there still are those that are a few that are a remnant that believe in Yeshua, Jesus, and in Yahuwah, the Father. So the scriptures still pertain to that, and we're going to be enduring that as we see. Now, before we get into, what I want to do now is in part two, we'll go through the vision, and then I have to give you some background in what the Lord revealed to me further, I don't know, about 14, 15, 16 days after the vision, he actually visited me. Well, he visited me actually on the 7th of April. So initially, and then again on the 14th of May, and then as late as today, and yesterday particularly, that he was still downloading and reminding me of things that he wanted touched on and explained to prepare us for what we are about to endure. So, in the vision took place on the 28th of March, 2024. At 3:00 in the morning, I awoke and I saw the large surface of the entire universe before me. It appeared to the right of center of my field of vision, and it was wrapped in a transparent membrane, with all of its billions of galaxies. The view of the universe was vast and it was dark. It took up most of the right half of my field of view, and it went from the center to almost the right edge. And there's just a little sliver that it did not touch. And it was in the shape of an irregular shape, not a symmetrical one, but an irregular one, of a giant top part of a heart. Now, that may have some significance to it. I haven't asked the Lord about that yet, and we'll examine that later, but not now. And looking at it, there was a horizon larger than the universe that went completely across my entire field of view, and it separated the heaven from the universe beneath. On the right side of the horizon, above the universe, was a little round face with a small little voice. It was facing left and moving from right to left, just like you write Hebrew text. We, in fact, write from left to right, but they go right to left, and this is what he was doing. And far to the left of my view, all the way to the edge above the universe, was a big, large, gray mass, about 1/600,000,000,000th of the entire universe, or less. I can't tell for sure. That's just my estimation. And so it was smaller than the universe itself, but it was made up of many powers, both small and great, sitting together by themselves. They were gray in color, and they were in opposition to the Creator. They were not good guys. They were bad guys. Okay? Then, the little round face with a small little voice spoke, and he spoke aloud like a roaring lion. And that caused, the voice caused the entire universe, the vision itself, the universe and heaven, to include me. And I'm still living that, being shaken by that. And it shook, and it caused me to shake, not only externally, but every fiber inside of me, and trembled violently. The little round face with a small little voice spoke as it roared, and it said, two words, gather. And immediately things began to gather. Assemble. And further assemblage occurred instantly. And all things were brought together beneath the universe. And after being gathered, then the saints were assembled, as I understood it. Then I noticed in the mass of dangerous powers of the universe and the powers of the kingdoms and the powers of the nations, a little newborn goat, and it needed to be rescued. On my own, in my own flesh, and in my focus of compassion to rescue the innocent little goat kid, I reached out in presumption. In fact, I became presumption itself, not thinking. And as I reached out, I encountered a veil and reached right through the veil. And that veil was between heaven and the vision and myself. And the vision itself, I still was intent on rescuing the kid, but I should not have done that, as it interfered directly in what Yahuwah, our Father in heaven, was doing. Immediately, with a voice louder than many thunders, he spoke, "Who dares to alter the appointed times and the seasons put in place?" His voice was full of authority. It was the tone and inflection of a vexed ruler who is being defied and saying to whoever is doing the defying, "How dare you?" was the tone of voice. But the command was what I had just stated. The voice was so powerful that the entire vision, as well as me, was again violently shaken with every particle and every fiber of being. I was duly rebuked. I immediately and instantly repented and withdrew my arm and my hand, seeking and receiving forgiveness. Knowing this, no one is to alter what the Creator sets in motion, nor the way it is set in motion, nor change anything until its appointed time and in the way it is appointed to be. We can petition Yahuwah, our Father, or Yahusha, our Savior Jesus, and he will consider it, but it must be perfect by his hand in his time and way. Also remember, it is written in Isaiah 13:13, "Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of Yahuwah, Tzivaot of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger." And it says in Ezekiel 38:20, "So that the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air, heavens, and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground." And in Joel 3:16 it says, "Yahuwah also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Yerushalayim, and the heaven and the earth shall shake, but Yahuwah will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Yisrael." Now, I'm quoting from the scriptures in the Sefer, because they have the sacred names of the Father and the Son, and I want to use the sacred names in this particular instance. Now, trying to understand what this vision is, I have a short summary. I have come to know and understand Yahuwah used me in this situation in the vision to declare to all beings his great displeasure in our changing his appointed times and seasons that he has put in place. He is addressing not only mankind, all created beings, to include those who call themselves Christians, but also the angels, the demons, and the other created heavenly beings. He is saying to every one of us, with a power that shakes both heaven and earth in the universe, who dares to alter the appointed times and the seasons put in place? He first commands of gather and assemble are for both the evil and the righteous. The harvest is ready. First, he shall gather the wicked, evil, corrupted, and perverted to be burned. Then he shall gather and assemble the righteous to be with him. In Jesus alone is redemption, salvation, and protection. Only in Messiah, Yahusha, can our righteousness be assured, not of our own, because it is also written that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. In fact, the actual words are the menstrual rags of a woman. Well, that's pretty filthy. It is time. This day of accountability is near. And the plagues and destruction preceding it have already begun. Just look at what's going on around us. Just recently, last week, we had hailstones the size of bowling balls raging across Texas. We have unusual, numerous severe storms and tornadoes. We have had a plague and the lockdowns, and soon to come, neither buying nor selling without the mark being strictly enforced is about to come upon us. They've already commanded that there's not to be any buying or selling without the jab. So that is already in place, but it's not been enforced. But it will be by the time they get the actual mark. Those of us that are believers and still are a part of the Babylonian system must come out of her, lest we partake in her plagues. For she surely will be judged with many plagues. Remember the two witnesses who are in opposition to the entire beast system that is in Revelation 11, verses 3 through 14? And they call upon plagues to happen numerous times, as it says. Now, one of the other things we need to know is that we are as partakers now in the churches that we are in, they are following the Roman rule. Are you, let me ask you, what day of the week are you worshiping and resting? Is it on the commandment day, or is it on the Roman day? The Roman day is Sunday, because the Emperor Constantine, his God, at the time that he gave that decree, was the sun god. Now, do things look different than what you thought? It wasn't because he rose, that the Messiah rose on Sunday. In fact, it looks very clearly that he actually rose on the day, meaning the first Sabbath after Passover. The first normal Sabbath after Passover is when he really arose, according to the nuances of the Hebrew language as you read it. But are we told that? No, we're not told that. Now, the system of the beast will surely be judged with many, many plagues. Yet in his wrath, Yahuwah will be the hope of his people, just as we read, and the strength of his children, Yahuwah, and we read that in Joel 3:16b. He will be our protector, provider, and our power. Now, before we get into the other revelation, which is going to be primarily centered around the Lord's sovereign, perfect power. His sovereign, perfect power. And before we get into the actual revelation of that, I need to give some background, because the Lord, our Savior Jesus, visited me many years ago in a time of great drama, actually, when a principal demon was attempting to possess me because of what I was doing. And we'll get into that. So as we look at the divine perfect power, that's out of place. That note to me was out of place. This is the one I want right now. I want to give us a background so that before we start, let us examine the first encounter with the invisible, impenetrable power of Yahusha and of Yahuwah. As we examine the revelation of the divine power from the vision, I have to actually go back, as I'm saying, and this attack occurred in 1970, but 2 years prior, I'm sorry, 1 year prior to that was when I began to be introduced in 1969 to the occult. I ran across a book in an empty seat on an airplane where I was returning back to combat after having been with my wife in Hawaii, and we spent a wonderful 10 days together, and then I had to go back. And on the way back, in this empty seat, was a book. The book was on Edgar Cayce, The Sleeping Prophet. Well, I was returning, and so I picked it up and I began to read it. However, it's very, very deceptive, because it's actually talking about the occult and ESP. Extrasensory perception. I had never heard of that at the time that this was taking place. I sure got introduced to it later. ESP is the college and university dressed up version of the occult. And I'm describing this particular adverse venture into wickedness that you and others might be forewarned and avoid the evils therein. So, as I began to read, they began to give a narration in the book of what Edgar Cayce was doing. I did not know that it was dangerous, and I did not know it was sinful. So I began to study and to research these things to discover what they were and where they fit in the creation of all things. Because I just, even though I had read the scriptures and come across the scriptures that told us not to allow witches to live and so on, and not to get into witchcraft, that's about all I knew, and I didn't know anything else. I didn't know that it was something that, as I'm studying, just studying this, it actually subjected me to the dangers of demonic influence, demonic control, and demonic possession. By the way, so too does any iniquity that you practice. Iniquity being a sin that you know about, you know it's a sin, and you still do it. That's called iniquity. It's not an inadvertent thing. Even fornicating, which is so prevalent today, also opens up anyone in this area to the demonic realm, because you have walked away from God, essentially. In all of this area, I was just as dumb as a box of rocks, and I confess that. I didn't know it, and that's why I want you to know about it. I don't want you to get into it. I just want you to be familiarize yourself enough with it to be able to avoid it. So after my research in that for a year or so, the fateful night at midnight, sometime in the late summer of 1970, I found myself dreaming of being in bed, having a very large and heavy, powerful, unseen being sitting on my chest, pressing me in this army bunk all the way to the floor, crushing all breath out of me. Instantly, I awoke to find it was not a dream. It was real, and it continued to happen. I could not breathe. This reality was frightening and becoming deadly. Having never been away from the love of Jesus as my Savior since he came into my heart at the age of 7 and had further baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit baptism took place early on Easter Sunday dawn in 53. It was in the early dawn while being alone and praising Yahuwah and Yeshua. I had been disappointed in having to plow instead of attending what would have been my first early morning resurrection worship service, and I was really looking forward to that. But I found myself dutifully obeying my father, and we were plowing this last part of a field before our service. But I had determined that I would still worship anyway. By the way, that particular morning we had pea soup fog. My dad's tractor was stronger than mine. He was in front of me, and it only took about 30 seconds, and he was out of sight. I, of course, with the din of the engine noise of the tractor and under its strain, I could not hear anything else anyway. So here I was, alone on a tractor, plowing a field prior to the worship service at the age of 13. As this happened, I discovered and received, because I was praising the Lord, And every time I was praising him more with whatever hymn or part of a hymn that I knew, he would come and inhabit that praise. And it would just continue and continue. And I was, each time he was inhabiting it, it was inhabiting me as well. And I was about to explode when suddenly from out of my mouth came another language I had never known. And those words, as I was praising, I knew they were praises to our Savior and to our Father in heaven. And they perfectly returned the pent-up praises that I was not able to do in English. And he inhabited me. And that's how I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. No laying on of hands, no congregation, no prayer, just simply my own sincere praising of our Father with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. And he answered me. Now, this demon obviously probably knew about this, but he had discounted it because I was in sin, virtually. And so he, by discounting it, it was to his ultimate failure because he was not able to demonically possess me. As this attack continued, I was raised up Methodist, so we were good on silent prayer, and I'd learned how to do that quite well. And I silently cried out, "Jesus, help me!" Instantly, the power of Jesus fell on me with such force, it was like being plugged in and charged with a great surge of electricity without having any pain. His power was felt, but was not visible. As this surge of power coursed through my body, the heavy crushing weight lifted off of my chest. But instead of leaving me, it rolled up like a scroll under tension and began throttling and crushing my throat, cutting off my ability to get any air, and simultaneously crushing my Adam's apple, and it was extremely painful. Again, out of more great urgency in silent prayer, I cried, "Jesus, help me!" This time, the power fell on me, plugged into me, at least tenfold and possibly 100-fold more. My body was so filled with this power that it began to emit a bluish white light about 1/16 to 1/8 of an inch in thickness all over my body from my toes to my fingernails and from my head to my foot. It cast a light into the darkness of the room. And the demon, I didn't know it was a demon, but it turned out it was, popped off, and it was an audible pop as it left. With all of this, I had to go to the bathroom. Well, I was in an old barracks, made over into a BOQ, that's called a bachelor's officer's quarters, on a TDY, that's called temporary duty assignment. And it was at Fort Polk, Louisiana. And the light switches were on the opposite end of the hallway where the bathroom was. As I walked down the hallway in the dark, the light in my body still glowed. This demon, who could not see this invisible 5-foot-thick shield that surrounded me from the power of Jesus, decided that I was still fair game. He swooped down like an angry hawk to attack me. But this power from Jesus surrounded me like a spiritual cocoon, as I said, 5 foot thick or more. Instead of hitting me, it hit this invisible, impenetrable shield of power. And it ricocheted off like a bullet hitting a rock. I only felt the pressure change of the hit being within this sweet, soft, surrounded cocoon of safety of this shield. This happened three times total. And then the demon finally gave up. Jesus is my rock. He surrounds me like a rock. Remember, it is written in John 17:21, that they all may be yachid. This is Jesus praying to the Father. And yachid is a special oneness together. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be yachid, in that they would, in the world, that they may believe that you have sent me, that the whole world will believe that you have sent me. And that's John 17:21. Yahusha, Jesus, is in me, and I am in Yahusha. This Jesus has revealed to me just at this time. I really didn't know that until this week. He is my rock. When we love Yahuwah and Yahusha with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and love one another, and love our neighbor as ourselves, then, even though we may not know all things, and I certainly don't, yet all things spiritual are put in place, just like this cocoon of power that's from Christ. That is why I was not frightened when I encountered his power in the vision. And I readily took his rebuke because it was right. There is a great joy in what is right, what is true, and what is his righteousness, for it is not mine, and his righteous living love and his light come from this power and from himself. Now, years later, in the early 1980s, as an example, this spiritual shield would still be in place. And while in a service, there were other demons that attempted to attack me. After the service. And it was a result of the parents, the witches and the warlocks of the child, and they were angered because I ended up casting out the demons from the child, this child's friend, and then leading him to a saving grace in Jesus Christ in salvation. When I turned to this other child that has the parents that are witches, they were witch and warlocks, I began to cast out the demons. And the first thing that the Lord has me do every time is, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be bound. And I got to that point, and the Holy Spirit said, stop. He wants these spirits in him. Don't go any further. And so I stopped. But the spirits were left bound throughout the entire service, so they didn't interfere with us any longer, because they were disrupting the service by that point in time. But the Holy Spirit had, you know, he knew best, and I followed in what he said. Well, the witch and the warlock sent their demons to attack me. When the demons came, the shield was there. Of course, I was not aware of all this until the demons attacked me, and they ran into this shield of power and ricocheted off like a rock. No, and they couldn't do anything. Knowing that the hatred the demons have for mankind, I can well imagine the encounter that these two individuals had upon receiving these demons when they returned. Because I'm well familiar with in the native community that any shaman that would have that kind of thing happen would either end up dead that evening or would have one near and dear him die. These demons don't play around. This invisible and impenetrable divine spiritual shield has been with me ever since, and even is with me today. Surely, as it is written in Psalms 23:5a, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yahuwah and Yahusha, in their keeping power, include not only his divine power, but also his complete provision. Could it be this power is alive? It seems so to me. However, at least we get off on a rabbit trail in sin, we are instructed to love the Father and the Son and none others. Because of him, all things of him have life. Thus, let us love and worship only him, knowing in him are all things right. And they are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father except through Christ Jesus. Now, lest someone discount all of these things that I have just shared, and they say, oh, that's just you, or it can't be for me, or this cannot be real, or I do not believe in such things, or I do not want to believe. Know and understand I am a man just like you, and I am daily beset by impatience and temptations in this life, the temptations of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is found in John 2:16. And I'm just like everyone else in that respect. However, when these temptations and impatience occur, I choose, even if it's in the midst of falling away to the impatience or the temptation, to humble myself, instantly repent and submit to Yahusha, crying out in praise to him to help me guard my heart so that my compassion does not become sinful passion or sinful imagination. And my heart is brought back to purity by his keeping power and his righteousness. This I do, and everyone else can too. In spite of our failings, the love, the grace, the mercy, the justice of Yahusha, Jesus, always responds to a sincere heart of repentance. We are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12b. In other words, always guard your heart to the increase of the love of the Father and the Son in all praise. Without Yahusha restraining and resisting the temptation, these things are impossible. But with Yahusha Jesus, all things of truth, purity, and righteous love are possible. Again, in Jesus, we can have a table set before us in the midst of the enemy and the enemy's temptations. Now, let us continue back to the divine power of Jesus as he began to reveal it on the 7th of April. I was alone worshiping him on that day. In the spirit, Yahusha Jesus spoke to me and said, I want you to now look at my and the Father's power. Instantly, the view of the vision came, and it came with the details of his and the Father's power at the moment when they spoke in the vision and caused all the heaven and everything else to shake violently. Take note, what kind of power can cause the entire universe and heaven to shake violently, not only on the outside, but through to the very core of just the sound, of his voice. While viewing the vision, it had been with his power in his spirit that continually dwells within me and also surrounds me with a, as I said before, 5 foot thick, invisible, impenetrable, protective cocoon of his power. Within his protective, perfect power, no other power can prevail. But by being indwelt with his spirit, with all humble humility and sincerity and obedience, his perfect power carries absolutely no fear except his reverential awe. When we are confronted with Yahuwah's power, that's the case.
Major Tom, I'm sorry to have to interrupt you, but I want to give you a heads up. We've got about 4 minutes left, so just to let you know.
Uh-oh. I've got another 20 minutes.
We're going to have to do part three next week.
Yeah, I think we'll have to do that next week. Okay. Are there any questions?
I'm really enjoying this series. Folks, this is part two of a series and go on as long as you need, my friend. I want you to get the entire word out. Yes, sir, I have a question. How can people sign up to your email list and make contact with you in the ministry.
Oh, okay. I have a website, and it's called aliveontheedge.com. And my email that you can contact me on to be put on the email list, if you so choose, is tom@aliveontheedge.com. And
is there a way they can also find any of your books?
Oh, on my website is a great deal of information. All of my books are on the website. They're available for ordering if you want to order it through the website. We also have several other visions that are there. There's other prophetic dreams the Lord has given me,
and
those are included.
Okay.
So,
liveontheedge.com?
Yes, aliveontheedge.com. There's a wealth of information there. There's also George Washington's vision at Valley Forge when he was visited and instructed that he was the father of the nation and shown what was going to happen in the future.
Okay.
And also that of A.A. Allen is
60
there.
Seconds.
Folks, get over to aliveontheedge.com. Now, I'm going to have this up in the archive here in about an hour. Want to encourage you to get a copy tonight. Also, catch up if you missed the last part that Major Tom did. And then, Brother Tom, let's get you scheduled back on. Let me see here. Today is the 20th. What are you doing next Thursday, the same time, Brother Tom?
We're available.
I've kept
it open.
It's yours. I'm going to see you on June 27th at 8 Eastern. Will that work?
Yes, that'll be fine.
Fantastic. You want to close us in prayer?
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait. Did you say what now?
Thursday the 27th at 8 Eastern?
Yes.
Okay. Next week, same time. Okay, perfect.
Okay.
It's
10
yours.
Seconds.
You want to close us in prayer tonight? And thank you for coming on, my friend.
Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your word would go forth with your unction and your power, that you would indwell each person and lead and guide and direct each one of us through the rest of our lives, that you would cause us to be closer, and that you would help us to bring others toward you, to introduce you to them, that they and tender their hearts, draw them, that they might too come into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Love you, brother. We'll see you next time. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Thank you. Folks, stay tuned. Let's say this. We've got Brother David Miller coming up next.